You're listening to KBOO Portland. Stay tuned for Mr. Jones's Neighborhood. Good morning, neighbor. I'm glad we're together again. We have a very special show for you today on Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, the Children's Program for Reluctant Adults. I'm the host of Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, Ken Jones, no relation, by the way. On today's show, we return to our roots here on Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, radio theater, more specifically radio comedy. Radio has a long tradition of comedy from the golden age of Jack Benny, Fred Allen, Fibber McGee and Molly, Burns and Allen, and Lum and Abner, to Stan Freberg, Bob and Ray, and the Goon Show in the 50s, to the revolutionary and iconic Firesign Theater in the 60s and beyond. Radio is no longer the popular medium it was. This very show you're listening to is a good example why. But the audio comedy tradition lives on in today's cornucopia of comic podcasts. Of those comic podcasts, one especially stands out for me, My Friend Lisa, which finds its inspiration in the comedy variety shows and sketch comedy of the past, Sid Caesar's Your Show of Shows, Carol Burnett, The Smothers Brothers, Monty Python, and SCTV. My Friend Lisa is currently 8 episodes into its first season, and it's already a hit. We're fortunate to have 3 of the podcast creators with us today, Lisa Graham, Dale Leopold, and Laurie Firth. We welcome Lisa and Dale previously to KBOO for their political satire podcast, BS de Resistance. Can't wait to talk with them about the new one. So travel with us back to those thrilling days of yesteryear. Only it's today, and another beautiful day it is in the neighborhood. Before we introduce Lisa, Dale, and Laurie, let's start things off by playing the theme song to My Friend Lisa, because every good comedy variety show needs a theme song.
Have you met my friend Lisa? You'd remember if you had anyone who spends a day with Lisa has so much fun, and you know that can't be bad. She talks to herself in a little padded booth, then people send her money. I swear it's the truth, that's Lisa. One of a kind, Lisa. Even hurricanes or freezing rain or any kind of weather, if you're feeling sad, she'll make you so glad that you spent this time together. She drowns out the sounds of current events with a little vaporizer and a whole lot of prints. That's Lisa. Easy to find Lisa. If you want to go to see or put on a show, you won't ever need a visa. And you haven't heard the strangest part yet. She secretly thinks that she's Carol Burnett. Her house is like a miniature zoo, but she'll always make extra room for you. And then Lisa, my friend Lisa, can be your friend too.
Lisa Graham, Dale Leopold, and Laurie Firth, thanks so much for joining us today from respectively your homes in Texas, Virginia, and Southern California. Welcome.
Thank you. Wonderful to be here.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Or not there. Or, but
yes.
We're here. We're here. Yes. We're in two places at once,
there.
Apparently.
Yeah, apparently.
We're glad to be anywhere, really. Just still moving along.
Indeed. It beats the alternative, for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Now, Lisa, we last talked with you and Dale, along with your Portland-based colleague, Karen O'Brien.
Yes.
I looked it up, March 2019. And wow. At that time, your first podcast, BS to Resistance, was in its second season. And you just wrapped up that podcast after three wonderful seasons, 44 episodes, I think, last March. So March 2021. Before we get
right,
to the...
We thought we had fired ourselves because, you know, things had changed. And...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to get into that, how you made that decision. Because the listeners who listening now who might not have listened to that, and I don't want to give them homework, I wonder if you could tell us.
Give them homework. Like, subscribe, write a review.
I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about how you and Dale met and decided to do that first podcast, BS de Resistance.
Okay, sure. It was Dale answered his phone, which was lucky because we had met very briefly at a conference.
Two or three times, max, yeah.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe, I don't know. I mean, faces. He kind of looks familiar. But we'd not really hung out in person because of the geographical distance and all that other good stuff. And we were heading into political season, and I spotted his name on a website that pimped out voice actors for political
ads, yes.
So I said, who's your sugar daddy, is why I called him, because I wanted to know more about, you know, that. And we got to talking, and we were both depressed after November 2000.
You know what I mean?
We were sad.
I know the feeling.
Don't want to trigger any PTSD in anybody, but yes.
Right, I know.
Trump won that election. Okay, yes.
Okay.
Breathe, just breathe.
So,
just breathe.
We needed each other. and we needed to literally use our voices and to say anything, something. Good Lord, what's happening to the world? We found out that not a lot of people wanted to pay us to do that. So what we decided to do was kind of Judy Garland it. We're like, hey, I know, let's just have a show and we'll do this thing and
we'll save
it'll
the town.
Fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, and we'll get it out there and then someday someone will book you, Dale, because you can do a good Trump, and me because Nancy Pelosi is one of my specialties.
Yes.
And we'll make lots of money. And that never happened. But we made a show.
We had good intentions.
Yeah, and it's been a great outlet for all of us, and we've had so much fun adding new writers, like Lori, and a new guy coming on as well, Jack. We've got new cast members, which has been... started out as inside our community, and we hope it will continue to grow outside of it. It's a great way for us to play and to say the things we want to say, you know, rather than standing in our front yards yelling at things.
Did that work, Dale and Lisa? Did it work as a way of coping with...
yelling in the yard? Yeah, my neighbors.
Well, the podcast, well, too.
The show, yeah. No, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And
totally did.
It, you know, that was certainly part of it was to deal with our frustration and get those feelings out. And the other part of it was the typical actor and especially voice actor's dilemma that you're at the mercy of casting directors and projects that someone else has written, which may or may not be right for you, and you're competing against the world and blah, blah, blah.
And
you know.
Also, the casting directors don't know that there's any place other than L.A.
Yeah.
or New York.
Right, right.
For the really fun, juicy stuff.
Right.
It's L.A.
So it's like, well, let's create our own. Yeah, but the thing was, we hadn't really, I mean, Lisa had done some stand-up. I had done, you know, a fair amount of acting, stage acting and stuff. And I'd written a couple little things here and there, but really not a actual script. Had never done multi-track, sound editing.
None of it.
Learned all that on the fly.
I'd been a reporter. So, like, I could put words together in sensible ways and had done humor columns for decades. But I'd never done a script.
Yeah. And the other aspect was the music, where that was a personal challenge to myself to say, okay, we're going to write a song in every episode. And originally I was writing melody and lyrics. And then I realized Chris can do the melody. He's much better at it than I am. I'll just write some lyrics.
And that's
here you go.
Chris Mezzalesta, who
Chris
does
Mezzalesta.
The music and the arrangements. How'd you hook up with Chris?
Same.
Yeah, no, Chris, I knew better than Lisa because, but we'd met at the same kind of thing, these voiceover conferences, and then stayed in touch through social media. But he and I—
Can we plug it? Can we at least say it, even though it's probably never happening? What,
FAFCON. FAFCON. Yeah, the very first one was in Portland, Oregon in 2010. Anyway, 2010, yeah. Yes. And I went, they were all over the country sort of for the next few years. And yeah, so I met Chris at one of those and we bonded on the music. It's like, oh, you like this obscure thing or that obscure thing and humor, you know, fire sign theater and things like that. We, you know, he's got an extensive knowledge of all that stuff. So do I, probably not as extensive as his, but we definitely had a lot of overlapping, you know, the Venn diagram was definitely overlapping a lot. So I knew that he had done music where he does all the instruments and all that. So I knew, I had a feeling that if I reached out to him and said, hey, I've got this song, can you make it sound like a song? You know, and he would. And it, you know, turned out really good.
Dale, how does he do the music? Does he play instruments or is this all done digitally through synthesizers and things like that?
Both. His main instrument is bass and he's an awesome bass player. He's also an extremely good guitar player and can play keyboards, but the synthesizers produce most everything. So maybe some of the percussion is you know, done by hand. Some of the, you know, the guitar parts, the bass parts, that's him. But the rest is all, he programs it in a synthesizer and it's quite amazing. Really, really quickly too. That's the other thing. Oh. It's like, I need this tomorrow. Yeah, no problem. Okay. He'll send out the parts to who's ever singing.
Yes.
They record their parts and he puts it all together and then sends it to me.
Yeah. It's amazing when you look at the quality of the music and the songs, the lyrics too, of course. Oh. Now,
I truly believe we would be terrible if we actually tried. I think that just doing it in a hurry on a deadline is really what brings out the best in us.
Right. So. Oh, you would be amazed. Yeah. Some of the best stuff either happened as an ad lib during the recording or just stuff that was written like minutes before the cast got
like
the
this
script.
Morning Slack conversation about.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Now that we have four writers, I mean, then. Also, speaking of lyrics, I mean, Laurie also, besides joining she was part of the cast from way back, but joined the writing staff during season three of BS and also started writing lyrics too. So that helped, took some of the load off of me, which was great. And then come up with some great songs.
I want to ask Laurie then, how were you recruited? Your first voice role, I think, was episode 8. It was called Left to Their Own Devices. And you played the title character, Betsy DeVos, there.
That's right.
Who was unfortunately our Secretary of Education at the time. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Oh, my gosh. That was my first foray. Well, I wanted to play with these guys because they were having so much fun and I wanted to be part of it. So they invited me to come in and do the characters. And then I got to sing as Betsy. And I think everybody was surprised that
she was amazing.
Well.
Amazing.
I think I was surprised that I could sing as well. As Betsy, I could do anything as another character, right? No problem. And then I expressed interest in writing because I've always been interested in funny lyrics. I've always remade songs in my head, popular songs, and changed the lyrics forever. So I asked if I could be a part of it. So I'm learning to write sketch comedy and scripts. And,
she's awesome.
And, of course, lyrics.
Jumped right in.
Now, Laurie, who were some of your influences doing song parodies? I would guess Weird Al, probably some of the stuff you heard on Dr. Demento's show.
Sure. Yeah. Dr. Demento was a big part of my growing up. I remember very well listening to the radio on Sunday nights. So I guess that's about it. It just became, I think one of the first albums I ever bought was called Looney Tunes and was not cartoon characters, but it had like The Streak and Kooky, you know, Lemme Your Comb. And I just thought that was like crazy and wild. I loved it. So that was the beginning. And I think I was
Boy, I remember that. What was the Kooky? Was that 77 Sunset Strip or something like that?
Yes, Ed Burns. Yeah, yeah.
Ed Kooky Burns. Yeah. And also during that time, there was They're Coming to Take Me Away, Napoleon Bonaparte. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, Chris has actually met Napoleon the 14th.
Yes. Oh, Fish Heads. Yeah.
Barnes
no,
and
not
Barnes.
The Fish Heads one, but the one where everything is a fish pun.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a Kippadada.
Sorry, it looks like you've blown a seal. Keep my personal life out of it.
Right. I don't know that one.
Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Kippadada. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the guy's name. Oh, that's right.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That was my favorite.
For sure. And another early influence on me was Mad Magazine, because they did parodies all the time, you know, sung to the tune with apologies to, you know, Rodgers Absolutely. And Hammerstein was, you know, instead of The Last Time I Saw Paris, it was You Ought to Try Vitalis, da da da, or something, you know. And I thought, oh, that's a thing. You can do that. Yeah.
I remember, I think there was one issue where they actually had a little a vinyl record in there, a 45.
Oh, yes.
The song was called It's a Gas, which was just a lot of kind of fart humor.
Yeah, right.
to put it bluntly, I shouldn't make it more sophisticated than it is.
That's right. No, it was, you know, scatological humor, you see.
Right, and you could do your Orson Welles.
There's too much directing going on around here. Yeah, I can almost guarantee it. I don't know this for a fact, but it's absolutely true that Chris probably owns a copy of that, of the Flexidisc, yeah, of the Mad Magazine. I would not be.
Most likely.
Yeah. I would bet money on that. Yeah.
I'm not sure Jay, my husband, doesn't either, but
right.
Something about records. Woohoo!
No, Lori, I also wanted to ask you, we mentioned you played Betsy DeVos in that first episode that you did. And you also were Kellyanne Conway, Elizabeth Warren, Ivanka Trump, right. Megan Rapinoe, Rachel Maddow. Right. Did you always have that gift for impressions?
Oh, well, I don't know. They always just gave me a part and I just did my best. Sometimes I would just watch a video prior to the session and just throw it out there. There's such a great group of people. They've always been really accepting.
We don't like to spoil people with time with
no.
the script.
Yeah, it's
we
usually
don't want our actors thinking.
They usually come right. in cold, which right. is great fun, and sometimes just lots of fun for us, because sometimes even the other writers don't ask, what did that line get added? It's like, oh yeah, yeah.
Right. But it's all the beauty's in the script, because it's, you know, it's just great lines.
Know she can do it.
Right.
Oh, so you don't do a lot of preparation. Like Megan Rapinoe, I couldn't tell you what she sounds like, though I know I've heard
exactly.
her. Exactly. You get a pass. But for somebody like Rachel Maddow, Kellyanne Conway, Elizabeth Warren, even Ivanka Trump, their voices are fairly well known.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we'll give them a little bit of a heads up. If we want people to play a specific character, we'll give them a little nudge. I just, like, hit Georgia today going, you're going to be rap singing How Great Me Art, you know, to the tune of How Great Thou Art.
Or something. You know.
So for this week, and then that's 2 days, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, we mentioned the lamentable end of BS to Resistance, but of course that led to My Friend Lisa. What were the reasons for wrapping it up after Biden became president, the Democrats took control of Congress? I looked up some of the episodes. You had that Kelly Loeffler debate. I almost forgot her, you know.
Yeah, right.
Blessedly forgotten. And then, of course, the insurrection, Trump in exile in Mar-a-Lago. I guess his summer home is New Jersey. Poor
right.
guy.
Yeah.
And you just didn't
That's
have Trump.
To- enough, I think.
Yeah, but- right. So you didn't have Trump to kick around anymore, or you just felt he was kind of old news?
Well, I'll answer that one just because we originally had intended.
You have an answer?
Because I have an answer, yes. Mm-hmm. At one point, I'd say we intended to keep going even past the election. And I think maybe around the mm-hmm. beginning of the year, we thought, well, what the hell? You know, we had Dustin Ebaugh, who could do Biden, who was like the first person, not me, to play a president on the show. And because I couldn't do a good Biden to save my life. But
you did Nixon and Bill Clinton pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up doing this, right. You know, all yes. on tape somewhere. Gosh, but so we thought, okay, this will work. You know, there won't be as much to make fun of, but there's always going to be stupid people in Washington one way or another. So yeah, we can keep doing this. And then January 6th happened. Mm. We thought, okay, you know what? This is not as funny as, you know, it's hard to make that funny.
The whole insurrection thing, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So we took our ball and went home.
Yeah.
It wasn't, there wasn't a lot of play. Things had gotten very, very serious. Mm. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And we didn't want to play on the corners of that anymore.
Yeah.
So we decided to still indulge our need to do topical political humor, but broaden it out and, you know, take a little break from having these voices in our heads.
Right.
You know, get your, yes. get your act back together, because we did just watch the insurrection on TV.
Yeah.
And take some time. And then do something that's less... the people are awful in that last one. Those people are awful.
Yeah.
And we wanted to not have awful people in our heads.
Yeah, yeah. You stare into the Trump abyss too long, it starts staring back at you, you know. And
Sauron, yeah, that yeah. one eyeball.
Mm-hmm. And that yeah. kind of broadening yeah. Of topics and getting away from kind of the awful mm-hmm. images of the insurrection and other parts of the Trump administration. Right. That's exactly what you are doing in My Friend Lisa. It's been described as a podcast variety show, and it has mm-hmm. Much of the same cast and crew as BSR. I think maybe everybody, except you mentioned a new writer coming on. I was wondering, did the concept for the show come out of some of the bonus episodes you Lisa and Dale mainly did for BSR? We talked about your personal life, and Lisa, you kind of became a character.
Well, see, that's not because... It's not kind of became, I am.
A character.
I always have been. And most of my humor, when I was writing columns and essays and things like that beforehand, was always first person, Dave Barry type topical stuff. Because my life is that weird. And so material was there.
Yes.
And it's actually kind of Lori's fault. About the name, because we went through 100 different iterations of what we could do together to
right.
continue. And I mean, I frankly still think we're hashing out some stuff on where what we wanted. Like we just now said, you know, themes are fun. We could do themes yeah. every episode.
Yeah.
Right, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But these people are friends of mine and Dale's, and it's not that I'm like... the strangest or most provocative. I am all of those things. I found out these jokers tell stories about their friend Lisa, who does these things. And I knew that I was weird, but not that weird, that I would be all their weird friend at one time. And so we decided to use that and use the... I'm good at personal topical humor. And so we're going to use that as the framework.
Right.
On which to build everything else. So it gives us the freedom to do parody commercial spots or something super political or songs just for the hell of it songs,
yeah.
you know.
You're listening to Mr. Jones's Neighborhood on KABU Community Radio. On today's show, we're talking with Lisa Graham, Dale Leopold, and Lori Firth, co-creators, writers, and voice actors for the comedy variety podcast, My Friend Lisa.
Modeled a lot right. on Carol Burnett because she's my idol.
I was yeah. just going to mention that. She's even name-checked, I think, in the first episode by your podcast son, Jake. Mommy thinks mm-hmm. she's Carol Burnett.
Yes, right, right.
My writer husband, Dale, my writer's room husband, my work one, he got me a signed photo of her.
I did.
We both have them now, signed photos of Carol Burnett in our office.
Wow.
I know.
How did he do that? He wrote to
her? I don't know. Oh. Magic.
It's magic.
Yeah.
Actually, a good friend
it's
of mine.
The nicest thing.
One of my closest friends, his daughter, was very, she's in her 30s now, but she, about 10 years ago, she was really into Danny Kaye. You know, she, for some reason, and she was going to write a book about Danny Kaye. So she knew that Carol Burnett had done some work with him. So she somehow got her address and wrote her a letter, said, hey, I'm doing a book about Danny Kaye. Next thing you know, the phone rings and it's Carol Burnett.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And so she just said, oh, what do you want to know about Danny?
Wow.
Blah, blah, blah. And they, you know, had a lovely conversation, all that. So I remember this years later and said, hey, do you still have Carol's address? You know, so I wrote a nice letter and told her about Lisa and, you know, the show and everything else. And can we have a couple of pictures? So, you know, a couple of months passed and I thought, okay, well, you know, probably wasn't even a good address anymore. But next thing, you know, in the mail arrived a picture and also for Lisa. Surprise. Yeah.
I know. It's like being visited from heaven.
Well, she, for I so, actually yeah. Just read something about her and her relationship with Lucille Ball. And it seems mm-hmm. Carol Burnett's paying it forward because Lucille Ball was a very supportive person in Carol Burnett's early career. What I didn't know about Lucille Ball is her business sense with Desilu Studios. Apparently, besides several sitcoms, including The Lucy Show, they also did Star Trek and Mission Impossible.
Yep.
The studio heads, besides Lucy, wanted to cancel those because they figured they cost too much. And she said, no, I like them.
Yeah.
So we wouldn't have Star Trek and Mission Impossible without her, or Carol Burnett, maybe.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Impeccable taste. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
That's a winning streak for sure. Yeah.
When I lived in the Caribbean, we didn't have cable. I mean, there was cable, but we didn't have cable. and it was years. I was there for years with no cable. So my mom, back in the States, would record on VHS the Nickelodeon late night lineup, which would be I Love Lucy and old Carol Burnett shows. And she would send me, you know, 3 or 4 videotapes a month. And that's what we watched. So this is a dream come true to even be in the same genre.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's also 50s and 60s. They had these comedy variety shows like your podcast with the regular host. So as opposed to something like SNL now. They seem to have gone out of style, but I don't know why. Glenn Campbell even had one, the Smothers Brothers.
Sure.
Jerry Lewis.
and those, you know, I certainly watched all those growing up. But the other, my big thing I was a huge fan of was SCTV.
Which, oh, yes. Yeah.
That impressed me. I mean, right from the get-go, I think I saw they were doing like a Fantasy Island sketch. But within that sketch, they were parodying like the Hope Crosby on the Road movies, also like a stoner comedy, also Casablanca. All that was in one sketch. And I was like, holy crap. You know, because they didn't have to put on a show every Saturday night like SNL, they actually had time to write and edit and get it tweaked just right. And I always thought it was much better than SNL.
Right.
And so
you could
if we
make
have
a case that the cast was even better than
yes,
SNL.
Exactly. I
mean, those guys were amazing. A lot of them still working today.
Oh, sure. Eugene Levy and Catherine O'Hara.
Right. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Martin Short was on there. Dave Thomas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Great. So between that and Carol Burnett, so are we trying to mix that and make it somewhat contemporary? And it's a different challenge from BS, where you had a continuing plot, sort of. Well, they can't do that because 5 episodes ago they did this. Oh,
no,
that's right.
No one puts babies in cages.
Yeah, that's right.
Possibly write that.
Right. But, you know, with this, we have to come up with something new each episode, which is more of a challenge, but it's also, it gives you some freedom to do stuff. It's like, hey, why not do a Peter Jackson and the Beatles sketch? You know, or why not, you know?
It's a good challenge.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We're enjoying our challenge.
And some of them can come back around again, you know? Like,
Jesus is my neighbor. There's been 2 episodes with that.
No, there'll be another one.
There will be another one.
It's my favorite thing to write.
That's right.
I just love that one.
Given this freedom for my friend Lisa, is there anything that you wouldn't include? Kind of a topic you wouldn't do a sketch about? Or maybe Trump at this point, because he's old news. I hope.
I
Gail
hope we
won't
don't
let me say the F word, but I think that's my only limit. I mean,
yeah, you,
that's how I've been operating.
You may or may not have noticed. I mean, part of the catharsis of BS de Resistance was the fact that we could just curse our brains out. And, you know, rightly so, because you know, that was part of the therapy.
Because it was effing crazy.
Right. And so we kind of made a conscious decision, at least we're going to try this. We'll see how long it lasts. we're making it more like NPR-friendly language and try to get it be just as funny without necessarily going there language-wise. And so far, I think it's worked pretty well, but you know,
except
we'll see.
NPR adjacent.
Except for a few bonus episodes, I think.
The bonus episodes, we let her
rip. They had to give me bonus.
The bonus
episodes. They had to give me that. That's.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. We do put a little disclaimer on those, but not on the regular episodes anymore, like we used
bonus
to.
Bonus is not for children, and they had to let me have that.
Yes.
Not for Lori, since you're now part of the regular writing staff, and just like today when you're all calling in from different locations, so you're in Southern California, Lisa in Texas, Galveston, I think, Dale in Virginia.
Yes. Right.
You also collaborate remotely. Can you walk us through, if there is a typical session, session in this virtual writing room, how you come up with the ideas for the scripts and write the sketches along with Dale and Lisa?
I wish there was like a regular formula, but the way I see it, the way I've been included, we get on Zoom like this We talk about things that maybe we had at the beginning. We had a spreadsheet that had a bunch of ideas. We do some brainstorming and we throw out, you know, wouldn't be funny if this or that. And like the latest, we decided to have a theme around our next episode. So we all started brainstorming sketches,
commercials,
yeah. Music ideas, commercial spots, you know, that would be sort of around that. What would, yeah. you know, and just throwing it out there and then running with it. And oftentimes it's taking it one step further, yeah. or, you know, and like Lisa always says, go yeah, that, but go bigger, yeah. go weirder, go, you know.
So it's always can dial you really back, but I want to see you kicked up. Yeah.
right. And we share a Word document. Yeah. Usually the fun thing about that is, you right. know, we can see words appearing as if by magic when somebody's typing. It's like, oh, it's like, yeah, you know, which is right. great. And I should add also.
It's all yeah. collaborative then, Dale. It's not like yeah. somebody brings in a script. You're kind of like Paul McCartney at a certain point brought that's in right. a song and right. John Lennon said, that's
sometimes.
Good.
It I didn't. Depends.
Yeah, it's a little of both.
It's a little
we're
both.
Kind of, yeah. we're still.
Yeah. Sometimes we yeah, go away and Jack come back
in.
With something.
Yeah, Jack Mooney. So, Jack Mooney, I should say.
He's great.
Yeah.
I've worked with
you.
Him for years in Richmond, in Virginia here. We have a group called the Firehouse Radio Players. So he writes. One of the things we do is every October we do War of the Worlds because I get to be Orson Welles. And that's the original script. But the rest of the time, it's all stuff that he's written and it's parodies of, you know, detective shows, science fiction shows, you know, soap operas, all kinds of things like that. And I just knew he was very funny. And so I was happy to have him join the show. And he wrote the All's Wells That Ends Wells segment because mm-hmm. he'd done that
right.
before, in it, which I thought that was great. And several other things that, yeah, he's terrific.
Had you done Orson Welles before, Dale?
I started by doing, you know, the War of the Worlds stuff, you know, the Martians, the, you know, well, I'd say it's, you know, an opposition, blah, 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 you know, and I had fun with that. But we only did that once a year. And so he got the idea, well, I could write Orson into like an old 50s sitcom, you know, All's Wells That Ends Wells. And, you know, he's like taking over the school play. He's doing this. He's always eating something. He's always, you know, throwing out. And so I said, hey, can you write like right. a short, because those are normally like 20 minutes or something. So I said, can you write like a 10 minute one? We'll do it on My Friend Lisa. He did. And it was great. So, yeah.
And you took advantage of some of his outtakes for those wine yeah. commercials, right? Where
yes, right.
The no wine before it's time, where, yeah, he got a little frustrated. That never made it to the air, but.
A French champagne.
Those are amazing. The real Orson Welles.
Those, yes, that's right. Frozen peas.
Mm. And Jack's been a great addition. He's
crumb crisp
and
coating.
He's still figuring out where we are because, you know, we get together in a group, we chitterbug, and then I start yelling, okay, you do that, you do that, you do right. that, and I'll do this.
Right.
And then nobody knows what I've done.
Right.
And they start doing things. So,
right.
I mean, good on Jack.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, it's a different,
Dale didn't warn him or nothing. He just
he
threw
just
him right in.
Threw him in the deep end and it's like, yeah, come on mm-hmm. in. And he's done great stuff.
Yeah, I think he likes it too.
Yeah.
He seems
yeah.
to be paddling around happily.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will stay around.
One thing I want to mention about the songs, maybe you guys are too humble and modest to mention it. We also mentioned Dr. Demento,
but doubtful.
But you actually had a number one hit on Dr. Demento's Countdown a few years ago. I played that on our original interview,
yes.
The Eagle and the Bear. Mm-hmm. And Dale, you told me that you, I think Lori too, are you're going, and Chris, of course, going to the Funny Music Festival.
Yes,
coming and up Nancy, in Chicago this month.
And Nancy McLemore,
Nancy
yes. So by, I think by the time this airs, it'll already have happened because it's August 20th through the 22nd in Chicago. And it's based on the Funny Music Project, which is sort of kind of a feeder to Dr. Demento. They have their own podcast and funny stuff. But yes, Eagle and the Bear was like July 2018 or something. It was number one, which was a huge thrill. Yeah. I can't say how huge a thrill it was. We've had several other songs on his show as well, but that was certainly the best performing in the charts.
I'm hoping we get another one.
But yes, he's going
to
be there.
The kid one on, aren't we?
The Good Doctor. Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, the Good yeah. Doctor's going to be there. So we're going to perform. Yeah, What's in It for Me, the Betsy DeVos song.
Nice.
Putting Things in Order, you know, the country singer Buddy Lee Morningwood, played by Chris, and Crystal Meth, played by Nancy. And then a song from My Friend Lisa, the Truth Be Told, which is the campfire kids, you know, sharing rumors about sex. Which was a whole lot of fun that Laurie wrote with Chris.
Lori's got a real, her songs, I'm impressed. I like Lori working songs.
Yeah. And you've all sung lead in the songs.
Thank you.
One point or another,
yes. Big change for me, at least, because anxiety attacks and panic and I cry. And it's just, because that's the thing I've always wanted to be able to do. And I have not ever been able to do it. And now they're making me do it. And it doesn't sound all that bad. And so I have some more confidence, no more skill, but yeah, much more confident about it.
Yeah, we have some terrific singers in our cast. I mean, George Washington III.
Yeah, I know, we have great singers.
It's astounding. Nancy McLemore is great. I mean, Lori's great.
Lori's great.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris, another new fantastic. Cult member, what do you call
him? She hasn't had the initiation of the ritual yet.
The Suffolk and Good Players, which yes. I think is, if pronounced incorrectly, is a bit of a double entendre. So
with
FCC regulations in place, I'll say Suffolk as in Suffolk County, good with an E on the end, ampersand in the middle, so we'll leave it
goody.
At that.
Goody. You can go with goody.
Great, great, great. Yeah.
Like shoppy.
Yeah, that was
good. Rebecca Davis has joined our crew, and she sings as well.
Yes.
They're all very talented.
Yeah, yeah. And I get to sing. I mean, for BS, I was mostly singing either as Trump or as Putin, very occasionally somebody else. And
As the country singer. You've done that.
I did the country singer for my friend Lisa, but Chris did the Buddy Lee Morningwood.
Oh, okay, for BS the Resistance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But
that was our duet.
Yeah, but I got to play. I got to sing. Yeah, sing Paul for the Beatles songs, but that was a whole lot of fun.
There was one Crappily Ever After, which I love, which is just a perfect country. Yeah. But you're lead on that. Yeah. You're the male lead on that.
Yeah, it's me and Lisa. Yeah, right.
Oh, incredible! But it's like John Prine and. Emmy Lou Harris or
some random blonde
who just walked off the street.
That's right. That'd be me.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
It was. This is a good group and it's a good show. I'm really proud of us and it's so much fun. This is stuff we just wouldn't have the opportunity to do in the course of our normal work day.
Yeah.
So we should. Like, I don't know why they're not coming and knocking on the door.
It must seem like an incredible, I mean, given all your talents and your success and experience doing voice acting, it must be an incredible creative release to do the podcast.
Huge.
Throw the ball, man. Huge. Throw the ball. It's a game of catch
fabulous.
With other golden
it's
retrievers.
Fabulous.
It is so much fun.
Yeah, once I kind of realized early on that we could do this, and it's like not only do it, but do it well, you know, and actually sound like we knew what the hell we were doing. You know, it was like, God, I wish we'd done this, you know, 20 years ago. But then you can't do that. You just have to go forward and say, yep, we're doing it. And
no, actually, I think podcasts brought it back. I mean, there was a time when we had, you mentioned Stan Freberg, of course, the Firesign Theater. There were a whole bunch of groups that even did comedy records, not stand-up. Mm-hmm. There were ones that were kind of one-hit wonder, Ace Trucking Company. Mm-hmm. Man, there were a few like that. Cheech and Chong, well, I guess they're still around. They did some sketches. Mm-hmm. But then it just kind of disappeared. I guess it wasn't commercial, and podcasts kind of brought all that back, including old-time radio.
Right. Yeah. We
actually sat down and talked like grown-ups about pitching it to some of the bigger podcast companies and what we should do and how to put together the pitch deck and blah, blah, blah. We talked to a consultant and the consultant said things like
creative control.
Use your creative control. And we went,
yeah,
I think not. we're like, no, you know what? I don't care if we never sell an ad or make a dime. I will happily write checks. Dale writes checks. We'll make other people write checks. We'll just do whatever we got to do to keep it going because it's so necessary.
Yeah.
Because we're so damn good and no one knows that.
No argument from me.
Yeah.
No one knows that. They would never know it and they may never know it, but we know it because we make this thing that is, it's an awesome thing. Right. And so, yay.
Yeah,
Thank you for liking it.
Yes. We may be doing the Patreon route at some point when we'll put out an announcement, which will help at least some defray some costs and stuff. But yeah, I don't expect a huge payday from this.
It's not like we have a staff of 20.
Yeah, and you would still retain creative control. It's just it's democratized a lot of art. Well, I think the internet has too. I mean, there's probably almost a million podcasts now, and a lot of them are of the variety of two drunk guys sitting in front of a mic and saying whatever comes into their mind and thinking they're funny. But then there's ones like yours, which are so well produced and could easily be commercially viable.
I mean, we would love to do that kind of stuff. And we think we are terribly commercially viable, as long as I don't drop the F-bomb. But if we were marketers, that's what we'd be doing anyway. We, you know, but we're not.
We're
your typical voice actors. We're better than
clueless about marketing. Yes.
And we don't. We just want to get in the box and make mouth noises. Yeah. That's the sum total of the plan.
Have fun. Yeah. You know?
And, I'm usually so exhausted after editing an episode. It's like, okay, yes, just tell the world about it, please. Just do something. You know, I need to soak my head in cold water or something.
You know. You've kind of given yourself this exhausting schedule, a real challenge of putting out an episode since BSR pretty much every 10 days. Do you release an episode? Yep. How do you do that? It's amazing.
Well, we've had a breakthrough. We have had
like
a breakthrough.
We'd like to know.
We sat down, and Lori and I figured out what dates we need, by what number on the rectangle thing do we have to be finished for us to record for Dale to edit. So we now know that there are numbers.
Right. And if you give Chris a couple of days maybe extra on the songs where he has to come up with, you know, a melody and an arrangement and form out the vocal parts, et cetera, and do all, you know, all that stuff.
That bonus episode makes a big difference.
Yes.
Because that's 70% outtakes. And that's already done.
Right.
And it's not scripted.
And just
That's easy. Yeah. No.
You're listening to Mr. Jones's Neighborhood on KABU Community Radio. On today's show, we're talking with Lisa Graham, Dale Leopold, and Laurie Firth, co-creators, writers, and voice actors for the comedy variety podcast, My Friend Lisa. So Dale, do you have the time you're the one who puts all this together with the sound design and the editing, which is incredible. I noticed the details. People who are listening, I recommend wearing headphones or even earbuds. You had one intro where you had podcast Lisa and podcast Jake, Lisa's fictional son, who's based on a real life son.
Right.
And Lisa was coming through the left ear, Jake through the right, and you were the announcer introducing the show, and you were coming through the middle.
Right.
I mean, that's a lot of care and craft that goes into it.
It makes him laugh to keep me on the left.
That was really literally, it was like a random thing at first. And it's like, oh no, funny. She should always be at, you know, 67 degrees here, you know,
left.
But, you know, like I said, I learned sound design and the multi-track editing kind of as we went along. And I do take a lot of care with that. Like if there's a door in a sketch, I make sure that it's actually in the same place, you know, when it opens and it closes, and someone else, if someone's going in or out the door, they will fade towards that, wherever that spot is, you know, things like that. And just sort of random things to make it so it's not just a couple people, obviously, in a studio, you know, like a ticking clock or.
Oh, no, always, it's very dense with audio. How do you get the sound effects, say, for the door? Are some of those from the internet, or do you actually record your own?
I've occasionally recorded my own, but mostly not. There's a wonderful website out there called freesound.org.
I use it, yes.
Yeah. It's got a treasure trove, and some of them are not so good, and some are great, and some I've used a million times. And it's, you know, you donate, you give them some money, and feel good. Someone a little credit or not, but it's great. I mean, there's all kinds of libraries out there, but I've never really
had to use
them.
There's a big BBC library of sound effects going back, I don't know, 40, 50 years, maybe longer.
I have used some of those, like the ticking clock in the Pence house. That was a BBC thing. And occasionally a scream, you know, like the female scream that comes in handy when we did the hell scenes with George as the devil. Things like that. Nice to throw in these things.
Voice actors do not scream for free.
No.
Screaming is bad for us.
Yes. Right. I think in the very first episode when Jake turns on the TV, BS, when Jake turns on the TV and it's Trump's inauguration and Lisa screams, that's actually a BBC female scream.
a professional screamer.
Yes, right.
I didn't know that.
I know they had that in horror movies, you know, people who used over and over to just their voice.
That's right. Horrible on your throat.
Right.
you can't just do that a lot.
Yeah.
Now, before we wrap up, I want to let listeners know, how can they find out more about My Friend Lisa, BS de Resistance? It's still available on demand.
Yes.
I mean, the older podcast. And maybe support your work if they like what they hear.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Well.
Okay. Well, that's
her, she's
cool.
Overcome. She's overcome. She's overcome.
The Klimt.
So yes, there's...
the website is under construction right now.
Yeah, the My Friend Lisa website.
And we had to switch that over.
And, you know, it is...
Oh, by now, yeah.
L-Y-S-S-A, you know, which is supposedly the Welsh spelling of Lisa.
It is.
I don't believe her because it should have more L's and a couple of W's in there, too, if it was truly the
Welsh
spelling.
There's no vowel, I'm pretty sure.
So anyway, so My Friend Lisa, that's the first hurdle. Spell it right.
Which is such a good luck thing, too, because My Friend Lisa, spelled L-I-S-A, some jackass had bought that and was holding on to it for $1,100. But
wow.
No one had thought of my name but me.
That's right.
So,
that was our ace in the hole, yes. So we will have Patreon, I believe, sometime later this year, which will be good.
Which will be linked to the website.
If you subscribe to the pod, you know, My Friend Lisa, or BS de Resistance, you know, we spelled it all French funny with the accent mark, but you should be able to search Resistance in your podcast app and find that. And there's three seasons of that, and they're all great.
awesome.
And also, you can buy our music. We have three albums worth of stuff from BS at our Bandcamp site, which is bsdr.bandcamp.com. You can download stuff, buy downloads, or get some actual CDs. We even have a vinyl single, 45, with Jake rapping, and I'm Ready for Boring is the B-side. So, yeah. Yeah.
Excellent. I have that one. I don't have the latest one, Dale.
I know. I'll get it to
you. Anybody know why I don't have a CD, Dale?
It's when I was supposed to do it, and you know. Reasons.
This seems effective. Lisa must have done this before with you, Dale, I think.
Yes.
Yes, I don't have the CD yet, but I have had this conversation.
Right. Well, it appears to be working.
Yes.
Well, no.
No, it doesn't.
Right.
This is breaking news as of the last few days. Speaking of the quality of both BS de Resistance and My Friend Lisa, you entered the last episode of BS de Resistance. Aren't you glad I'm out or out of here?
Orange, you glad?
It's orange, over, yes. Because that's right. The Trump connection.
Right.
And
right.
Then the very first episode of My Friend Lisa, you entered that in the Here Now Festival, which is held annually in Kansas City. Last year and this year, both virtually due to the pandemic. But you won gold there for both of those episodes. They had platinum, gold, silver, bronze, and something below that. I don't know. You can't say copper anymore because it's worth a fortune.
Lump of coal.
Lump of coal, probably. But that's a very high honor. That actually, some the Fireside the Theater are on the advisory board there.
Yeah.
And a lot of the best audio producers in the country submit to this festival.
And so do we. So that was really...
Well, yes. I wanted to be inclusive there, but
right. No, it's really
we're very
it is an honor.
It is an honor.
It's a great honor. I just really enjoyed. I'm glad you guys decided to keep going after BSR. My Friend Lisa, I think, has a wonderful future there. You'll have Patreon. Well, it's just one of the top-notch podcasts I've listened to. Stuff from the BBC and all that is truly amazing. She's getting for Klimt again.
Can you call me like every other day and just say that part again?
You'll have this on tape, Lisa. You can just play that. Put it as a ringtone.
Side note on this one.
Yeah, I'm
Dale
just,
actually made me a tape. He made me, I have to tell you, I know you're trying to walk out. He made me a clip of the girls laughing, of Lori and Rebecca and all the cast laughing because if I don't hear that, I think that I'm a failure.
Yeah, with Zoom, sometimes you can't hear the reactions.
So some days, if I just need a perk up, all of the cast laughs at me in a 30-second loop. So,
yeah. Man, that would be a great product, wouldn't it?
It was really a great gift.
Right. Kind of an old personal laugh track.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds
what it is.
Good.
Yeah, and Lori and Karen especially have the most infectious laughs, and so it's just the best ego boost ever. Yeah.
I just wanted to give a quick shout out to Karen too, because you mentioned Dale, the Fireside Players.
Yes, the Firehouse Radio Players.
Oh, the Firehouse Radio Players, and Karen's a member of a troupe in Portland, Tesla City Stories, which also does old time radio with newer scripts. With the onstage crew, and they do an amazing job, and they're actually starting up again post pandemic in September. So
good. Yeah, we are too in
she
Richmond.
Loves
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
And at least a couple more members of that were also at the FAFCON thing in Portland. Mm-hmm. You know, these many years ago.
All these weirdos hang out together.
Yeah.
Well, it seems like the voiceover actors always have the talent, and this is such a great way of kind of channeling it into something that's not a commercial for Hot Pockets
we just don't get to do it.
I'm sorry, but those options have changed. Please press.
Stay on the line. Okay.
I know I've gone to all your website and listened, and Lori, yours especially, you listened to some of the voiceovers you've done. They're beautifully done. It's just, you know, commercials.
Exactly. So we get to really play and have fun. So we really, really, really appreciate you having us on again.
Thank you so much.
And we appreciate that you appreciate us. And that's
very
gratifying.
Really like that.
You're keeping the tradition going from old-time radio, those great comedians, to Stan Freberg in the 50s and 60s, Fireside Theater. You know, there's not too many others around who do that. Now you see more kind of stand-up comedians doing their own podcasts, and it's more along the lines of what I mentioned before, two, three guys getting into a room and just saying whatever comes out of their mouths.
Which is fine. That's not us.
Sort of us.
I think the care that you take and the time that you take to do these well and to do this in the tradition of great audio theater, radio theater, which goes back to the whole history of radio. So it's a great art form, and you guys are at the top of the class there for that art form. So I want to thank you for that.
Well, thank you. Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm going to stop because I'm making Lisa cry.
Ringtone?
Yes.
Like a ringtone? All right. Can you make that a ringtone?
Yes, I'll send you the clip. Well, Lisa, Dale, Lori, thanks so much for joining us today and for all you do with your great work on My Friend Lisa and BS de Resistance. And all the funny songs.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken. It's a pleasure.
Sweat is running down my nose. Oh, thank you.
Well, that's all for this episode of Mr. Jones's Neighborhood here on KABU Community Radio, or KABU Neighborhood Radio, as I like to call it. If you missed any part of the show, would just like to hear it all again, you can stream this episode and previous episodes online at kboo.fm/program/Mr. Jones's Neighborhood, or just search for it on the KABU website. Before we head out the door, a big neighborhood thank you to our guests today, Lisa Graham, Dale Leopold, and Lori Firth, co-creators, writers, and voice actors for the comedy variety podcast, My Friend Lisa. While we await the show's new webpage, you can catch up on the current season wherever you get your podcasts. That's My Friend Lisa, with Lisa spelled L-Y-S-S-A, like they do in Wales. You can also listen to their previous podcast, BS de Resistance, again wherever you get your podcasts, and find out more on their website, bsderesistance.com. And if you're particularly fond of the songs, as I am, you can sample and order their albums at bsdr.bandcamp.com. KABU, by the way, is your community radio station, and we get over 80% of our funding from our members. To support the station and programming like this, there's no better time to become a member yourself or renew your membership.
Just go to KBOO.FM and click on the big donate button. All of us here at the station, even Mr. Jones himself, thank you for that. Just a note that Mr. Jones's Neighborhood comes to you monthly on every fourth Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. Tune in for our next show on Friday, September 24th at 11 a.m. Hope to see you all again then. I'm your host, Ken Jones, no relation, saying may it always be a beautiful day in your neighborhood. Let's end on another great song from the My Friend Lisa podcast, this one written by our guest Lori Firth, along with Chris Mezzalesta, and sung by another of today's guests, Lisa Graham. It's called The Introvert's Lament, and I think most of you will relate.
They say it's almost over, this pandemic of our age. People can all gather, hoping to turn the page. But I know something different, now that my brain is fried. I won't go out, not anywhere, I wanna stay inside. I'm an introvert, why can't people understand it? To mingle with you just makes me wanna panic. It's not like I wasn't like this before. Just turn out the light and lock my door. I'm comfy in my own space, no need to interfere. 'Cause people drive me crazy and I don't want them here. What's great about the outside? I love my soft warm bed. And my Zoom filter's so perfect, I'm thinking we should wed. I'm an introvert, why can't people understand it? To mingle with you just makes me wanna panic. It's not like I wasn't like this before. Just turn out the light and lock my door. So take your new world order, go out and have a ball. Just don't get your pennies twisted when I won't return your call. It's not like I can help it, I've always been like this. I prefer my life quite simple, it's the virus I will miss. I'm an introvert, why can't people understand it? To mingle with you just makes me wanna panic. It's not like I wasn't like this before. Just turn out the light and lock